Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In this evening's reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David has finally come to a place of rest. And this is after years of sojourning, being a stranger in his own land, being under threat in many ways. He began as a shepherd, as a teenage boy, and he was called out, again famously, to fight Goliath. And then he was elevated. He was fleeing from a jealous king, King Saul. Then he spent much of his adulthood driving out foreign powers. But after these decades of sojourning as a young man, in the fullness of time, God finally delivered David from all his enemies and gave him rest in Jerusalem. So imagine, after decades of sleeping under the stars and being sort of under threat, sleeping in caves, sleeping in tents, traveling around land that he was anointed to reign over as king, finally David was at rest. And so his instinct in that time of rest, in that time of vindication and deliverance from the Lord, was to build a house of worship to God, to find a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. Because he rightly thought, how can I live in a house, in a place of rest, when the Ark, when the sign of the presence of God among the people and God's deliverance of me is housed in a tent? How can I have a house and the Lord live in a tent? An honorable place is deserved for the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of the Lord. It's a worshipful instinct, I think, if we were thinking just in natural terms. But God's response to David through the prophet Nathan is not to say, yes, go ahead and build me a house, but says, I'll build you a house. He responds to David in a very unexpected way. I'll build a house for you. And not a palace, but a household. Establish a place of rest for the people of Israel, for they weren't David's people, they were God's people, that he would plant them and protect them and establish them. He desired not a palace or a great temple, but to establish David into an eternal kingdom, a royal household. And the Lord promised further that he would adopt David's sons as though they were his own, promising David's descendants both the honor, the steadfast love of the Lord, as well as the discipline of the sons of God. And then, later, at some point, David's son would build a house for the Lord, and God would establish a throne for David's lineage and his kingdom forever. This evening, we celebrate a way in which God fulfilled that promise in the gift of his son, Jesus. That Jesus' birth was a fulfillment of God's covenant with David, but surely not the kind of fulfillment that David must have imagined or that his descendants clearly imagined. Because the zeal of David's sons after him, their fleshly zeal, accomplished only ruin. That it went from one throne to two kingdoms, and now, generations later, none. These people were under occupation. And Joseph, David's descendant, was once again a sojourner in this land, this ancestral land. And he was so thoroughly lacking in social capital, or maybe just capital, and money that he had, that Jesus was laid in a manger. There was no room for them in an inn. Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, in the city of David, Joseph's ancestral home, the city of David. David intended to build a house for God, but the Lord established a dwelling place for himself in his son and established an eternal kingdom through this baby born in Bethlehem. But like David, Jesus was a sojourner in his own land. He slept in the wilderness. He slept in the homes of others that would welcome him in, both saints and sinners. He showed compassion upon his people who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was very much like David in that way as a shepherd. He conquered oppressors. He traveled throughout the land of Israel, breaking yokes of bondage and freeing men and women and children from the curse of death and its shadow. He cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. But the kingdom that Jesus established was not of this world. Not a kingdom with boundaries of mountains and rivers or coasts. Not a kingdom with an earthly palace or a temple built with hands. That Jesus' kingdom was made up of people. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. As John wrote, to us who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, or the zeal of man, but of God. We don't build a house for him. He builds a house for us, a dwelling place for us. And like Mary, who said yes, and Jesus was conceived within her, Jesus' dwelling place is with us who receive him, and receive him with us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' body is a living temple where the household of faith is formed and made visible in humility and repentance and holiness when we show his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, being people who are set apart in Christ Jesus and formed in him by the Spirit. There are no isolated building blocks within this palace. There's no proud stones of greater dignity than others. Rather, the greatest among us becomes as the youngest, and we might even say as an infant, and the leader as one who serves. As St. Peter wrote, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we shall declare the praises of Jesus who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light and established a people who were not a people into a great nation. God's purpose for us isn't to return to some primordial garden, naked and unashamed, but to be clothed in the righteous life of his son, Jesus, and to one day gather with the whole household of those who are in him around the throne of grace. And so year by year, beginning, in a sense, at Christmas, in this celebration of the incarnation of God in Christ, over the course of our lives, year by year, we follow Jesus' path, remembering his incarnation, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to his heavenly throne. And in lifelong discipleship, however long God gives us breath, we are called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow him in the path that leads to life and eternal rest, and to a true and eternal home. We as a congregation have been sojourners for 15 years, but just for this past month, we've enjoyed the gift of being placed in a home. As a congregation, we've met in 5 different sanctuaries and parks and parking lots and fields and fellowship halls, and even in our own homes with little Zoom screens for many months, too long, I think. But the Lord has been with us every step along the way. He is the savior of sojourners and the shepherd of those who wander. And we've been fervent in prayer and diligent preparations, but our zeal has not accomplished this. The Lord himself is planting us in a place of his own and securing us and saying even to the world, see what I am doing. We are thankful for this place of worship, a place for hospitality and service for our local body of Christ. We're thankful for a place to gather. I don't want to be living in tents or pushing around carts filled with the various things of a church. We have a place to receive from the Lord's word and from his table, and a place from which God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, have been coming, gathering, and being sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit for 135 years. But we don't build a house for him. He builds a house for us, beginning first with his son, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him, whether we are small or great, whatever the world esteems us, we will not be put to shame. Brothers and sisters, the dwelling place of God is with man. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Merry Christmas. Please stand with me, and let's sing the final verse again of O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.